Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. This reading is a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. All the people are gathered and standing around as you are, and Jesus is preaching his sermon. I want to underscore one line, particularly that will show up in the sermon quite a bit. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives it light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the dominion of heaven. For whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the dominion of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the dominion of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. As we heard from Keith Womer's reading from Isaiah, the Israelites of that prophet Isaiah in his time were seeking. They were seeking prosperity and protection from harm. Sounds exactly like what our society is seeking. To use the political campaign rhetoric, jobs and security. This is the salvation that the God of Israel promised to deliver. But the prophet Isaiah is pointing out, no, he's shouting, it says, lifting his voice up like a ram's horn. The people are practicing false repentance. That is, their repentance, in fact, is part of the problem. All their church going, all their humble practices, all the proper ritual are undermining them and are hypocritical. When the people of means serve their own interests, when the people oppress all their workers, says the prophet, when they quarrel and fight and strike with a wicked fist, this is a repentance that undermines society and relationship with God. Here is the repentance that God chooses, shouts the prophet. Loose the bonds of injustice. Undo the thong of the yoke. Let the oppressed go free. Share bread with the hungry. Bring the homeless poor into your house. Clothe the naked. An extraordinary thing happens. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will spring up quickly. It's not just good for you, it's good for the world, it's good for your community. And God will go before you and after you and be with you. Salvation will be yours, and you will live in the realm of God. You will have prosperity and protection. But with a righteous spirit, That is, your prosperity will be that each will have enough, and you will look after each other. For this is God's will of life for all. If we take the prophet's words to heart in our age, we must ask, are we following only our self-interest? Has our gospel, has our country's faith become the prosperity gospel, as it seems to have been for the prophet's own community? Are the calls for fences and restrictions to others, particularly to refugees, are these rituals and symbolic practices designed to make us feel good, but which actually fail God's will, God's own hope for salvation for us, God's safety and prosperity for all? The prophet was asking us all throughout the ages, not just his own community, what was the kind of spirit that guides the heart of the people? And interestingly, as we read also then in St. Paul, to his own community, he asked the church in the city of Corinth also, what kind of spirit rules your heart? What kind of spirit rules your community? What kind of spirit rules your country? A spirit of the world, St. Paul asks, or the spirit of God? St. Paul's community at Corinth has received a great gift, a spirit of righteousness, which empowers them. They say, we have the mind of Christ. In faith in Christ Jesus, we are also given this transformative power. This is God's gift to us, God's grace poured out upon us. Now in his sermon, in Jesus' own preaching, he says that he has come to fulfill the law and the prophets. We often think that means all the rules, just exactly as they were written. It's not so much rules and regulations that Jesus is talking about. In fact, he's hardly talking about that at all, including church and ritual regulations. But what the prophets claim is God's will, that is, to feed the hungry, to welcome the poor and excluded, particularly the refugee, to clothe the naked, to loose the yoke of the oppressed, and to heal the sick. Think about all that Jesus did in his ministry. It was all about that. Almost all of his actions were those actions to fulfill the prophet's words, which the prophet received from the Spirit of God. This was Jesus' own ministry. But the spirit of the age, as St. Paul said, could not see it. I wonder, we all must ask about the spirit of our own age. Jesus was crucified in his time in the name of security, in the name of Roman peace, in the name of prosperity for those who ruled, in the name of religion. As St. Paul said in his time, the rulers of this age did not understand, and they crucified the Lord of glory. So throughout the ages, and what of our age? What would the prophet say? Where would Jesus be? He would be standing with us in our longing for enough and safety, but would be doing so by standing with the refugee, the hungry, the sick, the excluded. To be blunt, to be very blunt and prophetic, Jesus would be hanging on the fence, and he would pay with his life for all of us, on all sides of the ledger, on all sides of politics, for us. As for the Corinthians, for us all, the crucifixion did not, however, have the last word. The resurrected Christ breathes and pours out upon us the Spirit of God in forgiveness and in the promise of new life, in reconciliation and restoration, in faith in Christ Jesus. We too have the mind of Christ. With this power, we also are called to true repentance, to real relationship with the God of creation and redemption, to fulfill the prophet's words, to heal, to receive the lost, the poor, the refugee, to work for true prosperity, that the whole world will have enough, that all people would have value, to be the resurrection. Amen.